He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
Hi folks, this is Bob Main. I'm your host of today's survival show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want and to strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple, not extreme. We're about practical survivalism here, and this is about living a more independent life and things that you can do today to make your life better tomorrow. So, kind of have a new theme here. Thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow. If you are a first-time listener, thank you for tuning in. This is episode 28 of today's survival show. And I want to welcome first-time listeners. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. It's Tuesday the 13th of October. And also, I want to welcome all my international listeners out there. Found out I have another one from Canada. So that's great to hear. I just want to say a big thank you to all the people who are listening and tuning into the show. It means a lot to me, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Today's show is a little bit different. If you noticed from the show posting, we're going to talk about a song and how that song applies to being modern-day survivalists, Nowhere Man by the Beatles. It's kind of got some interesting lyrics to it, and I want to put my take on it and kind of show you how I think we have a lot of people out there who are classified as a nowhere man, and what that means to our ability to survive. Before we get into that, I do want to make a couple of announcements, though, about our forum. Just want to let you know that the chat room of our forum is up and running, and it's working very well. So if some of you want to take part in that, there are instructions that I've emailed to you as to how to activate that so you can chat with other members of our forum. It's a good way to learn some things that maybe don't actually get posted on a thread. And if you're not a member of our forum already, let me ask you to consider joining. We have about 120 members so far, like-minded individuals that get together. They talk about how to live a more independent, more secure life. It's really educational. Even if you just want to be a guest and you want to surf the forum, go to todayssurvival.com/forum. Or you can just go to our main page, todayssurvival.com, and you can click the forum page, and that'll get you to where you want to go. And that's pretty much it for the announcements. That's kind of, I wanted to keep it short and wrap it up. I want to say before I get into the main topic of today's show, and that is, if you are a first-time listener, or you're tuning in, or maybe you're one of our new listeners, I want you to let you know you've tuned into a voice of reason in a chaotic world. And the reason I say that is because I've received some compliments how we keep this show practical and simple, and that's what we're going to talk about, because I have a philosophy. If something is difficult, people usually don't want to do it. If it's not practical, they don't stay interested in it. And I think we have an obligation, and we have a duty to help people learn how to become more self-sufficient and learn how to prepare for themselves. Whether it's financially, whether they're preparing alternate methods of energy, whether they're storing food, whether they have a proper bug-out bag in case they have to evacuate in an emergency. It really doesn't matter whether they have a get-home bag, whether they're trying to get out of debt, you know, whether they're growing their own food. All this pretty much pertains to living a more independent life, but it's got to be practical. And it's, you know, you got to be able to take baby steps before you can go all the way on something. And that's kind of what today's subject matter is all about. So let's dive right into it. The way I came up with today's show is I was going through my iPod the other day. I was taking a little bit of a break from listening to survival podcasts and things like that. And I was just listening to some of the music for a change that I had on my iPod. And Nowhere Man by the Beatles is one of the songs that I had on my show. It was on my iPod. And if you noticed, I opened up the show with a clip of Nowhere Man. Well, when I heard this, it's a good old classic song, but I listened to the lyrics carefully. I have a tendency sometimes just to listen to the music and not listen to the lyrics. Now, I'm going to explain to you my take on that song and what the Beatles were trying to communicate, but I also thought to myself, hey, Nowhere Man has a lot of lyrics and it has a lot of messages that also apply to the situation that we're in today. And I know that was written by the Beatles back in the 60s, but a lot of it applies. Let me share with you what I mean. The song starts off where it says, "He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land." Let me ask you a question. Do you know somebody who's a nowhere man? Here's the Bob Main definition of a nowhere man. A nowhere man is somebody that doesn't have any plans. Somebody who's stuck in oblivion. Somebody who just kind of is going through their life, not really planning anything out, and they're just kind of taking whatever comes. And the reason I call them a nowhere man is because they're not going anywhere. You know, you have to plan where you're headed. If people don't plan to fail, they just fail to plan. You know, I think a nowhere man is also commonly called an ostrich. They got their head stuck in the sand, and they want to make believe nothing is going on. There's no problems. They don't even know what's going on. They don't care. They won't come out of where their little hiding place is because it's secure. You know, they're in their comfort zone. And I think part of being a survivalist is you got to get out of your comfort zone. You know, we all live in this comfort zone. We all live in this safe area. And then as soon as a little something bad happens or something, you know, a negative stimulus hits you, you know, maybe you lose a job, maybe something goes on financially, maybe you've got some big bill that you have to pay that you weren't expecting. Now all of a sudden you leave that comfort zone and you go into your danger zone. All right? So think about this. The nowhere man's in his comfort zone. And something negative happens, something bad happens to him, and he leaves that comfort zone. He goes into what I call a danger zone. And the reason I call it a danger zone is because he doesn't know what to do. And you know, there's typically two things that people do when they get into their danger zone. Number one, they either withdraw. In other words, they withdraw from people. Or they get hostile. Now think about that. They leave their comfort zone, they go to their danger zone, they withdraw, or they get hostile. That's typically how they deal with being in their danger zone, especially if they don't have a plan, especially if they're a nowhere man sitting in a nowhere land where they don't know what to do. They withdraw, they get hostile. Now I know people that just totally withdraw. All right, they just say, all right, I can't handle this, I don't know what to do about it, and I'm just going to get out of here. They withdraw. And if you remember, I talked about the 10-80-10 rule of a disaster. I've talked about that before in another show. And basically, that's where you got 80% of the people not doing anything. You got 10% of the people freaking out and panicking, and then you got about another 10% that spring into action. Well, you got about 80% of the people in there in a disaster situation that are nowhere men because they don't know what to do, so they withdraw. They're the people who do nothing. And then, unfortunately, in a lot of disasters, you got people who get hostile. You know, we saw that with the riots. We saw that with the Rodney King riots. We saw it with Hurricane Katrina. We saw people getting hostile because they didn't know what to do. And that's what's going to happen to these nowhere men. Trust me. You know, if you're not ready, and this is why self-defense, I believe, is so important. Now, you know, survival is not all beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. Let's get away from some of that extremism. That's what turns a lot of people off. But that is a small part of it, and especially keeping yourself defended. Because when you got these people that leave their comfort zone, they get into that danger zone, and they start getting hostile. Go back and listen to the show I did on how to deal with angry people. Because that's what's going to happen. And you're going to have to be able to deal with them. So these nowhere men, they've retreated to a false place of security. And it's kind of like a house of cards. It's just going to come falling down on them at any minute. In another piece of the lyrics to the song, the Beatles say, he's making all of his nowhere plans for nobody. Right? So we've got, he's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land, making all of his nowhere plans for nobody. And see, I think that's the problem. How many of you know somebody sitting around and they are making plans, but they're nowhere plans? And what I mean is they're not getting them anywhere. There's been many people that subscribe to the philosophy that, well, as long as I'm making plans, I'm okay. Well, what kind of plans are they? You know, are you achieving your goals? Are the plans helping you achieve the goals that you want to achieve? Are you making your life better today so that if something does go wrong, you're not only going to be in a better position to handle it, but you're going to be from a position of strength. You know, like I said, preparing today so that we can thrive tomorrow. Well, the Beatles talk about this guy who's making his nowhere plans, and he's making them for nobody. Because nobody's going to benefit from the plans. And here's, let me elaborate. All right? Let's make sure that I get detailed about this. You know, you got people and all the plans that they have is they want to acquire material objects, right? They just can't wait to get that new Xbox 360. They just can't wait to go into debt and get that brand new car that they really can't afford. You know, they're sitting around making all these nowhere plans, dreaming about this humongous house that they can't afford to buy, which is what happened a few years ago, which is why we're in this ridiculous banking and mortgage crisis. But we've still got people out there thinking that way. We got people sitting around making plans like, well, you know, if I could just meet the right person, well, everything else is going to be okay in my life. All right? And they start blaming it on the fact that they don't have they haven't met the right person in their life. And they're making all these plans that just don't matter. And, you know, an interesting fact about the song Nowhere Man, you know, at the time that that song was written, the Beatles were trying to break out of their shell. They were trying to become more opinionated. And one of the things that they were doing was trying to protest Vietnam, for example, at that time. And I don't want to inject politics in here because that was a very tumultuous time in our history, and everybody's got a lot of emotions about that era. You know, but with the song Nowhere Man, the Beatles were trying to kind of break away and establish themselves to be a little bit more unique. And in the first five lines of this song, they try to establish kind of a sad, pathetic type of a character, this nowhere man, if you will. And so they sing about more lyrics. They say, he doesn't have a point of view, and he knows not where he's going to. You know anybody like that? They don't have a point of view. They're lukewarm. Folks, you can't be lukewarm, especially when it comes to something like survival, especially when it comes to something like preparing for things that could go wrong, or even just bettering your life today. You know, even if nothing does go wrong, at least what you're doing is you're bettering your life anyway. But you got to have a point of view. You can't just sit on the fence. I think we have too many fence sitters. You know why? And I think here's why. Remember I talked about comfort zone and danger zone a few minutes ago? People are sitting on the fence because that's the easiest thing to do. If you don't develop a point of view about anything, if you don't say, hey, you know what? My point of view is I think what's going on is trash. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to start living my life differently. It's easier, though. It's easier to just say, I'm not going to have a point of view. And you know why? Because sometimes when we develop an opinion, when we develop a point of view, then people start criticizing us, and we can't handle it. And you have a lot of insecure people that can't handle criticism. And they also can't handle the fact that maybe what they're doing is just not going to work. Maybe the path that they're setting for their life is not getting them anywhere. And they refuse to take a stand on what's happening in their life because it's painful. There's pain in change. So they say to themselves, well, I'm just not going to have a point of view because that's easier. Then I can stay in my comfort zone. And I won't go into that danger zone and I won't face all that criticism that people might give me. You know, I mean, survivalists. You know, I've said this so many times. You know, the media paints us to be negative people. Even our friends sometimes go, you're into that survival stuff? You know, it's my goal with this show to do the best I can to make survival mainstream. And again, I've said this many times, I almost wish the word survival wasn't part of it because people, they get this negative impression of that. I had a friend of mine post something on a Facebook page where he said, you know, I don't want this to be an every man for himself situation. You know, we have to help each other out. If this turns into be some kind of a selfish every man for himself philosophy, well, I want to help my neighbors too. You know, let me blow that out of the water. In my humble opinion, a good survivalist is not somebody who's just thinking every man or every woman for themselves. A good survivalist is willing to help, is willing to help other people as well, especially the people in their community, especially the relatives that they have. You're willing to help them have a better life as well. At least I can tell you, for my show, folks, my show is not about a bunker mentality. My show is not about every person for themselves and the heck with the rest of everybody else. I get a problem with somebody that says, well, I'm just going to do for myself and to heck with everybody and to heck with those people who haven't prepared. They can just go suffer. I'm not that way, folks. And I hope you're not that way. Now, there is a limit as to what you can do for other people because some people, as I mentioned, are going to slurp you and they're going to take you to the point to where you're not just helping them anymore, now you're supporting them. I'm not saying go that far. But what I am saying is, right now, before disasters happen, good modern survivalists are those that want to help other people succeed so that they can be into they can help better their lives today so that they can thrive tomorrow. So when something bad happens to them, they don't need to look to somebody else. So this is a big tent mentality that we have here. So to people who want to criticize us and say that we're just a bunch of selfish people, bunk. That's crap. And if you've listened to any of my 27 episodes prior to this, I don't get into that bunker mentality kind of stuff. So enough said on that. But getting back to the to nowhere man, you know, he doesn't have this point of view. He knows not where he's going to. In other words, he doesn't have any goals. He doesn't know where he's headed. And then here is where this song written by the Beatles really smacks you along the head. The next lyric is, isn't he a bit like you and me? And here they're trying to say, hey, aren't we sometimes acting like a nowhere man? We don't have a point of view. We don't know where we're going to. And isn't this guy a bit like you and me sometimes? Or maybe this nowhere man is not like you now, but maybe you used to be like him. And that's what that part of the lyrics kind of jumped out and said to me. You know, I used to be, I can tell you folks from a personal experience, I used to be a nowhere man. In fact, you want to know a good definition or another good example of a nowhere man? You remember when Jay Leno used to be the host of The Tonight Show? Remember the segment that he used to do on jaywalking? Remember that funny segment? He used to go out and interview people on the street and ask them simple questions like, who's the vice president? Or what is the Supreme Court? He used to ask them obvious questions like, what's the capital of the state that they lived in? And they didn't even know that. Those are nowhere people. Those are the people living in their little shell. Jaywalking pointed out the problem all too many times that not only we have in this country in the United States, but probably in most places in the world, you have these people that just don't have a clue. Period. Now, the next piece of lyric from this song is pretty interesting. Next, the Beatles say, "Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing." And that really jumped out at me, because isn't that what we're trying to do? Aren't we trying to just shake people by the shoulders and say, "Hey, please listen. You don't know what you're missing here. You don't know the good feeling that you can get from preparing in your life today. You don't know the good feeling you can get from being out of debt. You don't know the fabulous feeling that you can get by storing food. You don't know how good this is to be able to grow your own food. You don't know what you're missing here. So nowhere man, please listen. You know, come join us. Come join those of us who believe in bettering our lives, who believe in becoming more self-sufficient. Because you don't know what you're missing, because it's an excellent feeling. Because it's such a feeling of peace, it's such a feeling of security that we want to share it with you. But don't you get frustrated? Don't you want to walk up to some of these people and just shake them? And say, "Hey, get out of that little bubble that you're living in, because there's so much over here on the other side that's so excellent. And you don't know what you're missing. You're not experiencing the peace of mind that you can gain from having a bag packed for each member of your family, so that if something happens, if a disaster happens, you've got enough to sustain you for 3 to 5 days. You know, you don't know what you're missing, knowing the skills of CPR and first aid, so that you can take care of you, yourself, your loved ones, if they're hurt in a disaster, if they're physically hurt." And then the next line in the lyrics of Nowhere Man, they say, "Nowhere man, the world is at your command." And what they're saying here is that if these people will just change, then it's amazing what they're going to be able to do. The world is their showcase. The world's at their command. They can change their own life if they just simply listen. If they just finally figure out what it is that they are missing, the world's at their command. There's nothing that's going to be able to stop them from starting to build a more secure, independent life. So they don't have to be one of those people with a sticker on their car that says, I owe, and off to work I go. And really, it's about the working class person that just does what he does and doesn't have much of a life. And the truth is, the world is at his command. Anytime he wants to alter his world, he can go do it. All he has to do is flip that switch, and he can go do it anytime he wants. And then the Beatles in that song go on to say about Nowhere Man, "He's as blind as he can be, and he just sees what he wants to see." There, I think they're talking about ignorance. People who just are flat out ignorant. They're as blind as they can be, and they can't look past their noses. All they see is just what they want to see. And again, I firmly believe, because it goes back to the fact that they don't want to get out of their comfort zone. And some people just don't want to admit. And this is the toughest part. This is the toughest part, I really believe, about, you know, getting into becoming more self-sufficient, and it's what I struggle with. I didn't want to admit, because pride was overtaking me. I didn't want to admit that, you know what, I wasn't ready for the challenges that were ahead. I was one of those people that was as blind as I could be, and all I was looking at, I had tunnel vision. All I saw was just what I wanted to see, and I blocked out other stuff that was telling me, "Bob, you got to do something different, because what you're doing is not working. If you continue to do the same thing you've always done and expect a different result, you're going to go insane." And the next line in the song, "Nowhere man, can you see me at all?" Don't you get that feeling? Those of you who are modern survivalists, don't you get the feeling when you go up to somebody who's a nowhere man and you're talking to them and you're trying to get them persuaded to get into this mindset, don't you say, "God, you know, can't you see me at all? I'm right here. Can't you see what I'm doing? Can't you see how I'm setting myself and my family up for a better life?" It's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating, and it kind of drives you nuts, because especially if there's somebody that you love, you know, you're asking them, "Hey, can't you see?" And the fact is, no, they can't. They are as blind as they can be, and that's all they're looking at is through that prism of just the way that they want to look at it, because they just don't want to admit it. Now, the next few parts of the lyrics to this song are pretty interesting. They sing, "Nowhere man, don't worry. Take your time, don't hurry. Leave it all till somebody else lends you a hand." And this is what we have to remember, is that sometimes you have to use a little bit of a different approach. Instead of beating people over the head and saying, "Hey, can't you see me at all?" Sometimes we have to use what I call a velvet hammer. And that is probably living your life and setting an example for others to follow, and really not ramming this down their throat, but just letting them see the example and telling them, you know, "Hey, not to worry, but watch what I do," and kind of let them come around on their own. I think one of the ways that we're going to win people over to the self-sufficient, survival-minded way of life is to just kind of win them over gently and slowly. And sometimes you have to sort of use what I call the take-it-away clothes. You know, what happens when somebody's trying to shove something down your throat? You don't like it, right? Somebody shoving it down your throat, you want to spit it back up. Use the take it away clothes. "Hey, you know what? Don't worry. Take your time. Don't worry. Don't hurry. Just wait till somebody else lends you a hand, and I'll lend you a hand when you're ready. Watch my example. Watch my lead. And when you're ready, come talk to me. When you want to talk about why am I storing the water, when you want to talk about why am I putting away the food, yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll sit down and we'll have a discussion." And I'll tell you what we want to be real careful about is we don't want to start setting bad examples. As survivalists, one of the things that we don't want to do, and this is why I'm such a big proponent of not becoming too extreme or not trying to be too belligerent about forcing this upon somebody, is we don't want to turn them off. We just want to let them go ahead and live their life, but very gently and slowly but surely show them what it's like and let them make their own decision. So, with this, I'm going to bring this show to a close here in a couple of minutes. It's a short show, but I wanted to send this message because I'm setting up the next several shows about planning. You know, if you don't have any plans, that's what's going to kill you. Even just basic plans. And I've mentioned this before, but even if you say, you know, I'm just going to plan right now to get a couple of weeks' worth of food put together. I'm just going to plan to have enough ammunition on hand so in case somebody wants to take from me what I have, I can adequately defend myself. I'm going to get two small debts paid off so I can get that snowball going, so I can start working on getting myself more financially in balance. I'm going to lose some of the bad friendships I have that are starting to drag me down. If you say to yourself, "That's one of my plans." You know, and I hate to speak like that, but it's so true. You got to start tuning out people that are going to drag you down. And even if that's a plan, even if the plan says, "Hey, you know, I'm just going to start limiting my association with people who just don't buy into the survival mindset, and all they want to do is criticize it and drag it down and slam it." Even if that's part of your plan, Even if part of your plan is something like, hey, you know, I've only got 13 months left on my car payments. I'm going to work real hard. I'm going to scrape and scratch and save money, and I'm going to go get a second job so I can get that last 13 months of my car paid off in 6 months. So I don't have a car payment anymore. Even if your plan is, I'm just going to start to grow a small amount of food. I'm just going to start to grow 5% of what I eat. Just 5%. That's a plan to start with. Even if you say, you know, I'm just going to do some simple things like reinforce the locks on my doors so I can start to make my home just a little bit more secure because money is kind of tight. Even if you say, I'm just going to start putting together a small first aid kit, a homemade one, so I don't have to go out and spend a whole lot of money on an expensive one, and I'm just going to have half a dozen basic items in there. Even if you part of your plan is, well, you know, I'm just going to take an old backpack that I'm not using and I'm going to go ahead and start building a bug out bag of some kind just so that I have something and I get started with that and build it up to 3 days, 5 days, 7 days worth of sustainability in it. Even if your plan is as simple as going and getting a Rubbermaid container and starting to put away some canned food in it and some dried food and storing a few liters of water and getting that going. Even if that's your simple plan, at least you're not going to be a nowhere man anymore, making nowhere plans for nobody. And get a point of view of some kind. Right? Even if your plan is, you know, I'm going to take a stand on something. Even if it's a political stand. You know, I mean, we can all differ on politics, and I try not to make this show about politics. You know, I think some of you who listen to me, you know which way I lean, but all political views are welcome here at today's Survival Show. But take a stand. Take a stand on something. And if you believe in it, then work real hard to advance that cause. That's part of survivalism as well. But the most important thing I want you to take away from this is know where you're going to. Set short and long-term goals. When you're planning out your preparations, the first goal I want you to set is, where are you going to be in 30 days? Make it realistic. All right, we're going to talk about goal setting coming up shortly in another episode, but my mentor taught me a long time ago that you have to make your goals realistic. If you set these lofty goals that you can't attain, you're going to get frustrated. If alternative energy is one of the areas that you want to improve on, well, don't set an unrealistic goal that in 60 days you're going to be off the grid. Come on. You know, you gotta get a little bit more realistic than that, a whole lot more realistic than that. But write it down on paper. How much alternative energy do you want to start using in 30, 60, 90 days? And then where do you want to be a year from now? And where do you want to be 2 years from now? And just how far off the power grid do you want to go? And then dedicate your preps to it if that's your goal. And so I want to challenge you as I bring this to a close to go ahead and just pick three goals. Just pick three areas that you want to prepare in your life. And I want you to set three different goals. I want you to set a 30-day goal. I want you to set a 6-month goal. And then I want you to set a 2-year goal and write it down. Get on your computer, make a file, establish a new folder, and call it Survival Goals. This is not writing down actually what you're going to do to prepare, but set a realistic goal as to what you want to achieve, because that's where you know you're going. And this is, you won't be like a nowhere man who knows not where he's going to. Now you do know where you're going to, and it's very important. Don't skip the part about putting your goals in writing. You know why I say that? Because when you put your goals in writing, this is like making a contract with yourself. It is. It's like making a binding agreement with yourself, and you're saying, self, this is where I am going to go. And you'll believe it. Believe me, you'll start to hold yourself accountable to those written goals. It's also important to review those. So if you set a 30-day goal, take a look at it in 2 weeks and see where you're at. If you set a six-month goal, look at it at about the fourth month and see where you're at. And then when you set that two-year goal, sit down and do a review after about a year and a half and see where you're at on that. But folks, at least have the plan. Please don't be a nowhere man. And now that I've talked extensively about this great classic song, I'm going to bring this show to a close and I'm going to sign off. And when I finish signing off, you'll get a chance to hear the entire song. And as you listen to the entire song, listen to the words carefully. See if some of what I said made sense. And see if it applies to either people you know or even if just a little bit of it applies to yourself. And ask yourself the question, am I doing what's necessary so that I don't end up being even partially a nowhere man? And what could I do to set the example to help other people in my life make sure that they don't become a nowhere man? And this is Bob Main, and you've listened to another episode of Today's Survival Show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want to live, not what other people want you to live. And we make survival simple, not extreme. So, here you go. Enjoy the song, and we'll catch you next time.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you? Making